Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. Episode number 68. Hello, everyone. My name is Tom Brussell, and thanks so much for listening. Whether you sit in with us every week or this is your first time listening to us, we're glad you joined us. And I'm glad you're back, Kenny, technical specialist Kenny Nicholson, who's got a well-deserved week off. And if there's snow on the course, you might as well go out and ski on it, right?
Yeah, correct. That's what I did. I got the opportunity to get on a little vacation and went out to Park City, Utah, and enjoy some snowboarding. Missed the episode, but you guys did an awesome job, and I'm glad to be back.
Well, we're glad to have you back. And we have an interesting topic today, one that we don't get on, it seems like, enough. We talk about distance and feel with clubs and hybrids and all that, but we don't get to talk about the ball a lot. And you get a lot of questions on the ball.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, for some reason, that's a question I get a lot from you, the listener, as well as over the phone talking to people. And, you know, whether you realize it or not, golf balls are one of the most important components of the golf game. I was just talking to one of my customers a little while ago, and he was talking about a golf ball that he got specially fit for. And he's like, man, I'm telling you, with the driver, I picked up 15 to 20 yards with this thing. I don't know if it was all golf ball. But it reiterates the fact that, yes, golf balls make a huge difference. And we have a great guest on the show today, and I'll let you do the introductions this time, Tom.
Yeah, we are pleased to have from Titleist Golf the Vice President of Golf Ball Marketing and Strategic Planning, Mr. George Sine. George, how you doing?
Tom and Kenny, it's great to be with you. All is well here in Massachusetts.
A little cold?
Yes, it is very bright and sunny, but, you know, cart mitts are mandatory today.
Cart mitts and heaters in the cart if you're out there playing. George, thanks for joining us today. We got a ton of questions from the listeners as well as from myself. Every time we get a product specialist on here, you tend to learn something new. So if you don't mind, we're going to hit you pretty hard today with some questions.
Well, that's all right. I look forward to helping clarify any questions you have and, more importantly, helping golfers with education and selection best title golf ball for their game.
Yeah, we're going to get into the specific Titleist golf balls that we're going to cover today. As well, but I had a couple of questions from some of the listeners that if you can help clarify, is one of the main things that they ask is, do golf balls have a shelf life, or do they go bad after a period of time?
Well, certainly with the advent of solid construction technology, the shelf life of the golf ball and the duration in which it can continue to be played has been extended. What we have experienced is that if you keep your golf balls in a controlled climate, if you don't expose them to excessive heat and or excessive cold, then their performance and their durability and their overall playability is sustainable, you know, for a period of about 2 to 3 years. Anything beyond that, it does get a tendency to expose it to the elements and may have some slight implications on performance.
Well, that doesn't affect me because I generally like to hold on to one for about 4 or 5 holes, and then I feel lucky. So.
you are a utopic golfer, and as I always say when I play with golfers who have a tendency to mislocate their golf balls during the round is, don't worry, we'll make more.
George, one of the probably the wrong things that most golfers or a lot of golfers do is see a tour player playing a ball and go run and grab it, or find the least expensive ball and go buy it. I mean, that's probably the worst thing they could do, isn't it?
Well, those are certainly two ends of the spectrum, guys, and what I would say is that choosing the best ball for your game is important because it is the only piece of equipment used for every shot during your round. So first and foremost, you know, what we're trying to educate golfers on is, one, the golf ball does matter, and two, much like you invest time, energy, and effort in selecting the best golf clubs for your game, you should also invest time, energy, and effort in selecting the best golf ball for your game. And we think that starts with an assessment of your round and which shot during the round is most affecting your ability or most precluding your ability to shoot a lower score. Because at the end of the day, golf ball fitting and selection should be about which golf ball is going to allow me to shoot a lower score, not necessarily just hit a longer tee shot.
What's the best way for a consumer to know, George? I know it's a lot of trial and error, but getting on some launch monitors?
Well, no, actually, launch monitors, again, if you're using a launch monitor to make a golf ball selection, you're limiting it largely to the driver. Uh-huh. You're limiting it largely to that shot that you're only going to hit 14 times during the round. So, you know, why would you make your selection based on 14 shots during the round as opposed to the shots that you may be hitting 60, 70, or 80 times during the round. And those typically are the shots into and around the green. Through our research and walking the fairways with golfers and testing tour players, we've identified that it is the shots into and around the green where the golfer is going to most affect and most influence their ability to shoot a lower score. So we think it's really an approach that we call green to tee fitting, meaning let's start with shots into and around the green where you have the most opportunity to reduce your score and work our way back to the tee.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, that's the first thing that I look for when I'm trying a new golf ball or what have you is feel, you know, and how it reacts around the greens and mainly, you know, off the apron of the green, you know, for the chip shots and bunker shots and things like that. Because I feel that, like you just said, that's where your best opportunity is to lower scores. And if you're using the wrong golf ball and it doesn't react the way that you would like for it to, then you're definitely dropping shots.
Yeah, and to the comment about, you know, are golf balls being played on professional tours the best fit for average and aspirational golfers? You know, I would argue that, yes, they are in many cases. You know, not long ago, let's say 10-plus years ago, most golf balls played on the PGA Tour were a bad fit for the mass majority of amateur golfers, largely because they were wound, soft, balata-covered golf balls. And while tour players benefited from the spin and, you know, exceptional soft feel of wound balata golf balls, they really weren't the best performing for most golfers, largely because of durability and because they generated too much spin for the average player. But with the advent of solid technology, urethane construction and technology like Pro V1, actually the amateur golfer now benefits from the low spin attributes of solid construction, as well as the high performance of soft urethane cover material. So it really is the best of both worlds. And I would say that tour golf balls are now a good fit, if not a great fit, for the significant majority of golfers.
Let's get into some of your product line. We could cover all of them, but it would take quite a while because there's so many good golf balls in the Titleist family. But let's go ahead and start with the Titleist NXT Tour and talk a little bit about the construction and the playability that goes along with this golf ball.
Great. Well, for 2010, we're introducing the new Titleist NXT Tour, and what the golfer will experience with this next-generation product is longer distance with the driver and long irons, and also consistent shot-stopping greenside control, soft feel, and outstanding durability. You know, what we found with the new NXT Tour is for that golfer that is looking for high performance but requires some additional durability, that it is a great alternative to Titleist Pro V1 or Pro V1X.
And it brings along in that same family as the Titleist NXT. And for some that don't know, there are some different characteristics in the manufacturing of the golf ball. And I don't know that the consumer understands what the difference might be between the NXT Tour and the regular NXT. So let's touch on the NXT and see what the differences are and what consumer that might cater to versus the NXT Tour.
Okay, well, the NXT Tour employs a large, what we call 1580 diameter dual core. So it is a multi-layer construction with a fuse-a-blend cover. The attributes of soft feel and exceptional control into and around the green, as well as long distance, really define the NXT Tour. When we talk about the NXT, which is the replacement to the NXT Extreme, which we had in the marketplace, it really is the golf ball that provides extreme distance and straight ball flight, as well as good short game control and durability for the golfer. So for the golfer that's looking to hit it longer and straighter, really with all their clubs, the NXT is a great fit. For the golfer that's looking more for the combination of long distance as well as short game performance, the NXT Tour would be a great fit.
George Sine, the Vice President of Golf Ball Marketing and Strategic Planning, joining us for Titleist. And George, keeping along the family, talk about the new DT and DT Solo.
Well, the new DT Solo is an exciting introduction for us because it was largely driven by the voice of the golfer. The golfer who had tried Titleist DT Solo historically, the golfer that had played DT Carry and DT Roll and had come to the conclusion that because of my level of play, because I do seek simplicity in my golf ball selection, the DT Solo is a better fit for me, largely because it does offer that, you know, what we define as solid technology with a balanced solution for distance durability and soft feel, as well as short game control for golfers of varying abilities. You could be a very high handicap, you could be a mid handicap, or even you could be a low handicap golfer who's looking for simplicity in their golf ball selection. And thus, we've tagged the DT Solo as the golf ball that delivers distance that never felt so good.
George, consumers have asked me this. I haven't had the answer. Is there an acronym on the Solo? Does it mean something?
It has varying meanings. It could be so long. It could be soft and long. It could be the single solution for distance and soft feel. It really has a variety of acronistic definitions. But honestly, it's one that was very familiar to the golfer, one that had a lot of equity given its historical success, and one that we elected to bring back to our product line, again, based on the voice of the golfer.
Now, you're talking about the history. The DT has been in the family quite a while, hasn't it?
Oh, it has. It was introduced in 1974 for the first time. And, you know, one of the things that we're fortunate and that we benefit from is what we call a constancy of purpose in our product line. And what that means is golfers come to expect certain performance from their golf balls. And what we try to commit to is sustaining those micro brands, as we call them, such as DT Solo or NXT Tour or Pro V1, and yet improving upon those products when and if the time comes where we can make a better golf ball. And we're not a company that introduces a product to the market for the sake of introducing it. If we can't make it better, if we can't provide a better performance experience for the golfer, then we won't bring a new golf ball to market. But certainly the DT Solo represents an opportunity to make it better, to simplify the offering for the golfer, as well as to capitalize on the longstanding equity and loyalty that the Redbox Titleist franchise represents.
Yeah, I like touching on the DT Solo. I like the never thought your game could go so low.
Hello, there you go.
There you go. That's one for you right there. Hey, George, one of the questions you get or that we get a lot is compression. It's not listed on golf balls anymore, but a consumer is saying, okay, what does my club head need to be in order to compress the golf ball? And, you know, where the average guy's driver club heads be, let's say, is 90 to 95 miles an hour. Is there a golf ball that you would say, okay, these can be taken out of the equation, and here's our family of products that you need to kind of focus on?
Yeah, there again is probably one of the greatest myths and what I would consider to be areas of opportunity to dispel for the golfer. Back in the days when golf balls were available in a choice of compressions, okay, it was sort of conventional for manufacturers to use red play numbers for 90 compression and black numbers on a
black.
Definitely,
yeah.
Remember those days,
right? Oh, absolutely.
That was largely a function of process and manufacturing, and the manufacturer's desire to more separate those golf balls when they brought them to market, because the range of compressions were so great. You know, you could have anywhere from an 80 to a 95 compression in one lot, and you could have a 95 to 105 compression in another lot. So the 90 and 100 compressions really were a function of trying to ensure more consistency, dozen to dozen, sleeve to sleeve, ball to ball for the consumer. So that's sort of a historical preview of why 90 and 100 and what's happened since then.
George Sine from Titleist joining us. Number one ball in golf, number one ball on tour. George, we get this question a lot. Could you explain for the consumer the differences and the fit for the Pro V1 and the Pro V1X?
Yeah, the Pro V1 and Pro V1X are great fits for the significant majority of golfers. The reason being is both Pro V1 and Pro V1X have low spin off the driver, low spin off of the long irons, and yet into and around the green, again, those vital scoring shots, they really provide them with the optimum performance to hit that approach shot closest to the pin, put them in that position to make shorter putts, and as we all know, the shorter the putt, the more frequently it will go in. So really, the Pro V1 and Pro V1X, both well-suited. You know, it really becomes a function of going out on the golf course, evaluating what shot it is during your round that's most going to contribute to you shooting a lower score, and evaluating Pro V1 and Pro V1X on those shots. A little bit firmer feeling would be the Pro V1X. A little higher spinning would be the Pro V1. So those are some of the unique attributes to each. But really, we feel that it's up to the golfer to make that decision as to which is most suited and which will most benefit their game.
Well, that answers a big question. I mean, you get a lot of, a lot of people that have a slower club head speed that think that they can't fit into a Pro V1 or Pro V1X. So, I mean, it's price point driven, but if it's not something that's going to worry you, then obviously, to me, the Pro V1 or the Pro V1X is the ball that I use personally and absolutely love. So,
a little firmer feel with the X, a little more spin with the Pro V1,
yeah,
correct?
I'm the Pro V1 guy myself because I don't generate as much spin. I don't come in as steep. So the Pro V1 for me is the ball that feels the best and I get a little more workability out of.
And that's a good clarification on each. And, you know, to the point of, you know, if I don't have a high ball speed or if I don't generate a lot of club head speed, can I really benefit from Pro V1 and Pro V1X? And the reality of the matter is that all Titleist golf balls are long. If you were to do a test with golfers at low, mid, and high swing speeds, at best, you're going to experience a 3 to 5 yard distance difference between Pro V1 and Pro V1X, NXT Tour and NXT and DT Solo. So really, you know, the distance factor in selecting your golf ball is not a game changer, and it's certainly not a score changer. However, when you get into and around the green, that's when your golf ball selection, and quite honestly, golf balls that provide high performance spin and control into the green, do become game changers and do become score changers.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. For the average consumer out there or golfer out there, it's not a game changer. I mean, for the tour player, I can see where, you know, 3 to 5 yards can make a difference in their game. It could actually get them into a different club, you know, lower lofted club to where they're able to, you know, create better scoring opportunities. But for the average person out there, it's not the game changer. I think it comes down to, like you say, it's personal preference. And what are you trying to accomplish? Is it feel? Is it distance? You know, what attribute are you looking for to try to improve your game? And you've helped correct that or explain that to me as well as the listener as well.
A function of us, you know, sitting here in Fairhaven and trying to determine, okay, what's best for the golfer. You know, this is going out walking the fairways with golfers. This is a result of conducting extensive consumer research where we've learned that the number one goal for almost all golfers, whether they're tour players, serious amateurs, or recreational golfers, is to shoot lower scores. So, you know, whether they're in a competitive tournament, you know, whether they're playing in a friendly Nassau, or trying to beat their personal best average score, most all golfers want to shoot a lower score. So let's help them to find a way. Let's help them to simplify that selection process. And let's give them the tools to go out and evaluate the best golf ball that's going to better their short game scoring performance and ultimately enable them to shoot a lower score.
George, this has been great for me. Time well spent. Great education. Any final thoughts for the listeners, especially now that we're in the launch time for the NXT, NXT Tour, and DT Solo?
Now, we obviously wish everybody a personal best on and off the golf course in 2010. And you know, what we would ask for is that you give serious consideration to your golf ball selection, that you educate yourself, that you assess a couple of different Titleist golf ball models on the golf course. We think that is the best location to really, you know, do your evaluation and afford the appropriate time and attention to selecting the golf ball that's going to most enable you to shoot a lower score. Because as we all know, right, the better our score, the more our enjoyment, the more we play, the better for the game.
Great point, George. And I've got one final question, and it goes to pretty much, you know, where is technology going? Because the USGA puts restrictions on every manufacturer out there for what size the golf ball can be, how many dimples it can have, weight, all of those things. So you have this box that you have to work in, yet year after year it seems like you come out with something better than the year before. And golf balls have had the biggest change over the last 10 years of any product, I think. And where do you guys look at for technology advancements, and where do you see it going in the future?
To explain this and really illustrate it for the golfer is that, yes, there are regulations relative to how far the golf ball can travel, or in fairness, how far the golf shot can travel. So let's use a diagram of a football field, and let's say that, okay, in terms of golf ball or golf shot distance, in terms of golf ball or golf shot distance, let's say we're approaching the 5 yard line of the end zone. The reality of the matter is, as it relates to optimization and fitting and assisting golfers to select the golf ball that's most optimum for their game, we don't think we've even approached midfield.
But
we think it's a significant opportunity for golfers, first and foremost, to, one, realize the importance, to take the time to fit and select and evaluate golf balls that are going to help them shoot lower scores. And that's real, where the real future lies, is optimization, again, enhancing performance, adding to the enjoyment, and most importantly, allowing them to shoot a lower score. And the other factor is that despite the USGA rules and regulations and what some may call laws, okay, there's another law that comes into play, and that's called the law of physics.
That's what I was going to say.
And at some point, you know, there is a point of diminishing return as to how much further we can make the golf shot travel, and that's going to become a function of physics, and quite honestly, we're not far from reaching that destination. So it is one about optimization, it is one about short game, and it is one about education and selection that we feel should be our focus for the future and certainly where we're spending the majority of our time, energy, and effort.
Yeah, well, when you think back, if we were at the 50 now, in the days of the 80, 90, and 100 compression balls, we're probably close to a safety then.
Yeah, we were in touchback then.
George, once again, thanks so much for joining us. Looking forward to talking with you again in the future. And as you mentioned, probably a dozen balls for a lucky listener will be given away.
Yeah, Tom and Kenny, we can't thank you enough for including us and, again, helping us to place priority on golf ball selection and helping golfers to shoot lower scores, enjoy the game more, and keep coming back to play more.
Yeah, George, you helped dispel a lot of the misnomers out there, and it's helped me as well as the listener as well. And thanks a million for joining us today. It was our treat to have you on.
Thanks, George.
Our pleasure. Thanks for being a great partner.
Take care. Kenny, another great guest, and once again, learn something new every day, this time greenback, work from the greenback.
Yeah, it's so amazing to get these guys on the show and learn about product specifics and what goes into the engineering aspects of it and how to get fit for certain products. And, you just brought up a great point, and so didn't George, that you work from the green back to the tee. And that's one of the things when I go to the driving range, I'm kind of a people watcher. I like to watch how people practice or what they do. And the majority of the time, the big thing that I see is the average golfer going out there, the first club they grab is a driver. And they might hit 3/4 of a bucket of balls with their driver and then work a little bit, and they might finish with 2 or 3 sand wedges, where practice should be the exact opposite. Grab the sand wedge or the lob wedge and hit the majority of your shots from the green back, basically, because you're, in all honesty, you're not using a driver. If you use it 14 times in a round, that's a lot. And, great points to follow there, and great things to keep in mind when you get out there on the golf course practicing.
Yeah, we've got some balls to give away. Register to Win button is on our website, but why don't you tell the people how to get there?
Yeah, just go to our website. You'll see an e-spot that we call it an e-spot. It's a marketing spot. It says Golf Better Podcast. Yeah, correct. Click on that button, and you'll go to the Golf Better Podcast landing page. And from there, you can listen to past episodes as well as this episode. And there's a Register to Win button on there. Just click on that button and fill out the required information that we require from you, and you're automatically submitted to win a dozen of these awesome golf balls from the Titleist family. And on that page, you'll also see the Ask Kenny button. Feel free to please send me questions or suggestions for the show or anything like that. I personally answer each and every one of those. And every now and then we do a segment that's specifically Ask Kenny, and we use your question on the show. You'll get one of our new collector's edition of the Golf Better podcast hats. So, and then also you can tell them how to get the direct feed from iTunes from that page.
Yeah, it's that little orange icon. E-spot, as you call it, just click on that and you can register to receive the podcast right into your iTunes account. So you don't have to go back to our page and look, is there a new podcast episode up? Every time there's one put on iTunes, it'll download right into your iPod. But again, make sure to register to win. You can't win if you don't play.
Yeah, and don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can get there from our Edwin Watts Golf website. Down at the bottom, you'll see a Facebook and a Twitter icon. Just click on there and become a fan of the show. And what we try to do with that is keep you the fan informed of what's going on at retail, as well as special promotions that we have going on here. And every now and then we'll put promotions on there before they go out to the general public or a general list. And it's fun interaction, and we enjoy doing that. And definitely, if you would, please join us there as well.
Okay, Kenny, and back to Register to Win. Now, for this episode from Titleist, We got a couple dozen balls we're going to give away, but we're not just going to send them out as is. It's going to be like an assortment pack. So the lucky listener that wins, or lucky listeners that win, they'll get a sleeve of DTs, a sleeve of NXTs, sleeve of NXT Tours, and a sleeve of Pro V1s. But one of the caveats of winning is we want to hear back from you and see which ball fits you, and remember, work green back.
Yeah, that's a great point to keep reminding everybody, work from the green back and know where your scoring opportunities are.
And back to register to win from last episode, episode number 67. Lucky listeners got to register to win an R9 Super Tri driver or a Burner Super Fast driver. And our lucky listener is?
Mr. Rick Dorchick from White Plains, New York.
Wow, congratulations, Rick. It might be a little cold up there, but I'm sure you've got some heated areas to hit some balls. And your choice of the R9 Super Tri or the Burner Super Fast, and that would be a tough choice.
Yeah, congratulations. Either club's awesome, so you can pick out which one you like the best. And you might be in one of those leagues, one of them indoor leagues up there. And they take it serious year-round, just like we do. So congratulations.
Well, thanks again, Kenny, for joining me, and thanks again to George Sine from Titleist for joining us and being gracious to give us the golf balls to give away. And thanks to you, listeners, for listening in again. And tune back in another couple weeks when we have another exciting episode of Golf Better at edwinwattsgolf.com. So long, everyone.